RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. Today is Wednesday, November 17th, 2021, Frank.
So they say.
Last year, on Tuesday, November 17th, 2020, I had my house fire.
Oh, well, a year brings a lot of change, and congratulations to being in the new place.
Yeah, I wrote a couple messages and shared some photos on Telegram. And so that I don't get all sappy and emotional, I will put the link to that stuff in the show notes so that everybody can go read it if they so choose. But the reality of it is, Frank, that if it weren't for all those people out there that stepped up to help my family, we wouldn't have been able to rebuild this house or buy anything in it. So
it's a wonderful coming together moment.
It was amazing. Really, really amazing. So there's that. Just wanted to start the show off and tell everybody how thankful and grateful I am to them. It's something else. So I'm sitting here in my new house, rebuilt, waiting to make Thanksgiving memories and reading a ton of lawsuits.
Okay, well, who's getting sued now?
Everybody. Everybody. So I went and did a live stream yesterday where I have notifications set on Court Listener for all of the lawsuits for the J6 folks. All the criminal charges. So every time something happens in one of those cases, I get an email. And, you know, I try to read them, but a lot of the times I'm super busy and I don't click on them and like they go into my folder to review later. But for some odd reason, I clicked on this one. It was Megs, one of the Oath Keeper people. Mm-hmm. And what I found was something stunning. It was a motion for release. And it was basically a motion full of information on the vaccine mandate and what they're doing to prisoners who do not get the vaccine. And all of this detailed information about it, obviously how it's not FDA approved and they're lying to everybody, all that detail. I mean, it was an amazing brief. Now, I kept on saying the state's going to come back and say, well, we're not forcing them to get a vaccine. But if they don't, the consequences are as follows, which are basically deprivation of human rights. That they can't, they're not fed the same. They're not allowed to see their attorneys the same. They're not allowed to go outside. They're not allowed all kinds of things. I mean, what they're doing to these people in this prison, for people who are nonviolent, I'm not surprised anymore about anything because we don't live in a free country anymore.
Oh.
We have the fundamental background of one. We still have the Constitution. It's never followed, but we have it. But we're not living in a free country anymore.
No, it's been that way for a long time. It's been that way for a long time. We just had a lot more. Privileges. Just even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then before that, there's a lot of people that had their football taken away because the imagery and the messaging was put into football and baseball and basketball. So people were losing things little by little and waking up to what was really running the show. And it's been this way for generations, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad. But now it's coming to such a point that people are like, okay, seriously? Like, enough is enough already. So that lawsuit took off. And I went on it for like an hour and it kind of led me inside of it. It was linked to a declaration by Dr. McCullough, who I've been kind of corresponding with lately because he's doing a whole bunch of stuff to protect kids from this right now. That's kind of been where he's shifted his focus to, because there will be a mandate coming down for kids. I mean, you think that that's not going to happen. You're out of your mind. They'll try it. If we're not able to, you know, get some success where we have been winning small battles. So, you know, we're going to keep going on it. But it linked to this declaration by Peter McCullough for another lawsuit that's going on. And I'll tell you right now, we're going to miss some because there are, God, probably hundreds of them at this point. Aaron Seary, do you know that attorney? Does that name ring a bell?
No.
Okay, so he is the attorney that's working with ICANN, which is Dell Bigtree's sort of foundation. And he's been doing vaccine injury law for a very, very long time. So this isn't his first rodeo. But he filed this case against California University, University of California, on behalf of a doctor in the vaccine mandate stuff. And there's a declaration by Dr. McCullough in here that's probably, I don't know, it's the declaration itself is 9 pages long talking about the harms of the vaccines. And then the rest of it, which is another, I don't know, 170 pages, is all of his resume and things that he's done. And I'm reading through this and I'm like, how does one man do all this? And then I'm thinking to myself, what they've done to him, this brilliant mind in medicine who has done so much to advance, you know, I'm blown away. I'm blown away by it. I'm going to link it in the show notes for everyone to read. It's crazy. Yeah. The teaching, yes. The study, the papers he's written, the trials he's done. I mean, it's 170 pages long, just his resume, just his CV.
Real question is, where do they go to just start fighting the real fight, which is, I mean, obviously you have to stay visible. And if you're doing things that he's doing, anybody like him doing things that he's doing, you have to stay visible just for also for personal protection now.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time, if it's not already here, that, yeah, you got to do your due diligence in with the courts, just in case you catch lightning in a bottle. But we need to just organize whatever kind of resources we have and marshal those to make sure that people are getting attention. People need more options to see people who are knowledgeable about staying healthy in the very bad years that are coming.
Well, look, that's the two key words that you said, staying healthy. What we all, I think, collectively need to focus on right now is wellness, right? Because we're in for some rocky roads ahead. For example, there were a bunch of states, South Carolina included, Frank, that filed a lawsuit yesterday, or no, not yesterday, it was the day before the complaint was filed, on behalf of medical workers, CMS. It's filed against CMS because the Center for Medicaid Services is the one who's putting the cudgel down on all the hospitals to mandate that their employees get the vaccine lest they be fired because they will withhold federal funding. So this lawsuit is actually very strong. I'm sharing it in Telegram right now, going through some of it. But one of the things in here that, like, they talk about into the health and wellness portion of things is Medicaid, right? Listen to this. The plaintiff states have all entered into agreements with the federal government to participate in Medicaid. We have an entire country full of either sick or poor who have come to depend on the federal government for entitlement, thereby the states giving up their sovereignty, in my opinion, have come to depend on the federal government for money to then run their medical establishments in their states, thereby basically abolishing the rights of the states to conduct their business. So I know you're going to have a lot to say about this, and I'm going to shut up in a second once I read these stats and let you talk.
Nothing you haven't heard before.
I know, but I know you're going to want to riff, so I'll let you do that in a second. Listen to this. The plaintiff states have all entered into agreements with the federal government to participate in Medicaid. Medicare is a medical funding program paid for and administered by the federal government. The plaintiff states and the facilities within them rely heavily on funds provided through the Medicaid and Medicare programs. The plaintiff states also operate state-run healthcare facilities that receive Medicare and Medicaid funding. They are thus required to impose the mandate on their own state employees. Here we go. In state fiscal year 2021, Louisiana's $43 billion budget was comprised of $16 billion in funding related to the state Medicaid program, with $1.8 billion coming from the state's general fund. Louisiana added 300,000 more people to its Medicaid rolls since March 2020 when COVID began. As of May 2021, about 1.9 million of 4.5 million residents in Louisiana were enrolled in Medicaid, amounting to about 40% of the state's population. Thousands of facilities participate, including every hospital provider in the state. Louisiana, in part, implements its Medicaid program through managed care contractors. In state fiscal year 2021, Montana received $1.78 billion in Medicaid federal revenues. Of its total state budget, federal Medicaid revenues alone account for 25% of its state budget. West Virginia received $3.9 billion, 18% of West Virginia's total projected revenue for fiscal year 2022. A third of West Virginians are on Medicaid. South Carolina, I don't have those numbers because I cut it off because it's weird the way South Carolina does it. But anyway, you get the picture. Go ahead, Frank. You've got the floor.
Well, does anybody want to guess now why we get headlines like we did yesterday? President signs bipartisan bill to however many trillions of dollars that is just taken out as collateral loans against your great grandchildren. Shit, loans, debt that'll never go away, and there's absolutely no autonomy. There is nothing that anybody from any party can do. When you have a red state, supposedly, like Louisiana, where the hell is Louisiana going to find 16 extra billion dollars to be able to say, no, thank you, federal government. We're going to go our own way, right, so we can actually make decisions again.
Right.
That's why I say you're never, ever going to understand what's going on here unless you understand that 95% of the federal government is illegitimate. It is based on theft. It is based on bribery. And it's a hostage situation with these block grants. There's no independence there for anybody. You can't. Because then all of a sudden you have a $16 billion shortfall that you need to try to find a way to generate in-state, which is not going to happen, which means people are going to lose out on things that they've gotten used to, that they should never have had in the first place.
Yep.
And you're going to lose all of your elections. You're going to lose all of your elections. You're going to lose it all, as well as, you know, go bankrupt, which we are bankrupt. Here's the big thing here, Tracy. You give a state like Louisiana $16 billion to just float them, to let them stay afloat. It's not like you got $16 billion coming from a place where there's actually money to be given. It's a loan from an already defunct lender.
Exactly.
So everybody is just trying to manage the pain for as long as we can until everybody collapses. This is why in the original the way that we were supposed to run this union, if Louisiana wanted to get itself into very dire financial straits and perhaps have to default on its loans, perhaps have to go into bankruptcy as a state, at least it's just one state, one bubble that has popped in 50. They have turned the entire country many years ago into a giant bubble. That's why anybody out there talking about Medicaid reform, Social Security reform, entitlements reform, if you're not talking about gradual, complete elimination, you are out of your mind. You have no clue. And anybody who thinks that, well, listen, there's a lot of great people who work in our federal government, I'm sure, but they need to find a parallel position in their specific job in the real world, not in the leech world. You are, if you're working for the federal government, most likely you're a leech.
I just want to say, I don't want to hear from any of these crazy lefties ever again, because I keep saying this whenever they bring this argument up about healthcare is a human right, socialized medicine. We already have socialized medicine in America. Anyone complaining is out of their minds. If you can't get healthcare for whatever reason or it's too cost restrictive for you, go sign up for Medicaid. I guarantee you, you're approved. Guarantee. Somehow, some way. They want everybody dependent on the dole. It's so much easier to pull the rug out from everybody all at one time.
Social Security is socialized.
Oh my gosh.
It's socialized retirement.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. So we have to come up with a plan to help people in retirement. Or how about you stop taking money from them over the long life of labor that they've had?
I saw something float by me on Telegram the other day, Frank. It was a woman. She was a former IRS agent who, like, I guess they started investigating. And I don't know if any of this is true. Just huge disclaimer. I've never looked into this before. They started investigating whether or not there was a law on the books that allowed the federal government to garnish wages for tax purposes. And there isn't one, as per these people.
There. I don't know the specifics of it, but I have been people. It's been explained to me. I don't remember it. A few times, how there are people who just stand by their understanding of history and, you know, the law, in saying that the 16th Amendment, it was not even really the ability to tax is not actually even law, federally. So I don't know where people come from on that stuff. I've never understood it. Definitely haven't understood it in a way that's ever given me the confidence to actually defy paying my taxes,
right?
Because I don't want to go to jail. Doesn't matter whether it's a law or not. They just make things up as they go along, and they've got the authority to back it up, or they have the monopoly on violence to back it up, I should say. This is what it always comes down to. And I hate to use really harsh terms, like if you work for the federal government, most likely you're a leech. But they make it seem like it's a very honorable civil service job, but it's based on something that's completely unsustainable. And by giving yourself over to it, by contracting with it, whether it be an individual or the states that have contracted with the federal government on all these unsustainable programs, you give up your autonomy. You're never going to vote for something that actually fixes the problem, because in fixing the problem, you'll lose your job.
Literally.
You have to just deal with that reality. But it's unfixable at this point anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, it is unfixable. And I just got to say, like, you know, this whole Great Reset thing we've been talking about for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years now. I mean, hello, knock, knock, knock. So this lawsuit filed by these states against CMS saying you've abused all of your authority under the Constitution. You have absolutely no right to do any of this. How dare you? It's all true. They don't have any right to do any of it. And you know, you can hope and pray that the courts, which are the stalwart of kind of, you know, adjudicating when Congress or whatever steps, or not even Congress, when a government bureaucracy like this one, it's a bureaucracy, an unelected bureaucracy that is governing the entire country's bodily autonomy. And you know, people are forgetting here a lot. Listen, they're in the lawsuit, they talk about like 80% of the medical workforce is vaccinated and 20% isn't. That's still 2.1 million people. So they needed to get this vaccine in every, again, why? What is the reason for this? It's killing people everywhere. People are dying. People are suffering. People are getting sick. There are a few who aren't, but not yet anyway. And we hope to God they don't. But just the mere fact, just put everything else aside and think about this, Frank. There is no vaccine that is FDA approved. It's all under emergency use authorization. And this filing yesterday in this J6 prisoner's case argues, well, he has a medical exemption and he needs to see a doctor outside of the prison, or perhaps two, to get the letters that he needs, because the jailhouse doctors are biased and won't write it. They don't give a shit about these people's health. They don't care.
No.
So anyway, he goes into talking about how there is no FDA-approved vaccine, and if there were, then Johnson & Johnson and Moderna would cease to exist. He goes into treatment and says, you know, there's treatment available. If they recognize that, then the EUA for the vaccines would cease to exist, as would the FDA approval for the mandate for the vaccine. So it's a whole big cluster, which all hinges on a big lie among other lies, one, the biggest lie is that there's some FDA approved shot out there that people are getting. And I know that you've argued, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, I get it. I get the whole thing. But it does matter in the grand scheme of things, because they're using that as legal justification to go around doing this to people in one huge giant experiment. And the longer it takes for them to be successful, and I think that they have stalled right now in their success rate, because the people that are still hanging on, not getting the shot, I don't think they're going to get it. But the outcomes of this are good for them, I believe, unless I'm stuck between this thing. Like, I don't know if they just don't care what the outcome is, or if they're so stupid that they don't know what the outcome will be. And it's a toss up between the two, in all honesty, for me.
I don't know.
They've been stupid before, like blatantly dumb. And people, it has woken up more people than you could ever possibly imagine. So it's two things. If people quit en masse, everything falls apart. The whole country will fall apart. The supply chains will stop. The hospital care won't be there. Everything will fall apart. Now, where's the blame for that going to fall, right? Societal unrest on a large scale. Large scale, because these people are going to hold on. I beg of them to hold on. Yeah, it's going to be damn ridiculously painful. But we are in a war right now, and every single person refusing to get this shot is a soldier. And every time one of them decides to do it, they're a casualty. So if they don't get it, they quit. Everybody quits en masse. We've got wide scale unemployment in this country if they can't find private sector employment that will grant them an accommodation or not require a shot, right? So society grinds to a halt, for lack of a better term, or they get it and they get rid of their, you know, there's only the few of us left out here who have never had COVID and never gotten the vaccine, or had COVID and won't get the vaccine. And we're a very small proportion of the population, because everyone else has given in and gotten it. And yeah, either way, they get what they want.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the plan. I don't know why the push. I do know that the resistance that's been left over is pretty stiff. So there's going to be another plan B soon, whether it be smallpox.
Well, I'm reading all about that now. This whole thing where vials of smallpox were taken, the government's buying up all this money.
But that's just the latest. That's just the latest of this. I mean, they've been floating this back in June. We got these weird headlines that the FDA had approved a new smallpox treatment.
Yep.
Now they're like, okay. And then of course comes in the harbinger of doom.
Bill Gates,
he talks about how we have another, everybody has to start holding germ games because we might have smallpox coming back. And that was 2 weeks after Johns Hopkins, on October 14th or 15th, on their official YouTube channel, uploaded their old 20-year-old 2002 germ simulation video, Dark Winter, that is all focused around the proliferation of smallpox around the world.
So here's the thing. Smallpox, as it stands, without any manipulation by these sick freaks, is contagious when you are in close contact with a symptomatic, showing symptoms person for a very long, prolonged period of time. Or you touch, like, somebody with smallpox sleeps in a bed, you touch the sheets. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a COVID where somebody can asymptomatically spread smallpox around. Now, the fatality rate, depending on what kind of smallpox you get, is about 30% down to completely survivable. It all depends. There's hemorrhagic smallpox. There's all kinds of different ones. But why can't these people just leave us? If they would have just left us alone and kept most of the public under some facade of normalcy, Frank, instead of overly pushing this ridiculous agenda, they probably would have been able to do everything they wanted to do with no pushback whatsoever.
Yeah, but the pushback was already coming in big ways, because most people are pretty based in their understanding of what is real and what isn't. And we were being given these bullshit social cataclysms back in around 2012. It started really ramping up. And then we got more and more on that end. And then, of course, 2016 was Brexit, and then Donald Trump. And That's just something that you can't really push back on.
I think, come on, they've gone way overboard, Frank.
Oh yeah,
they've lost the entire country, save 10%. Look at the approval ratings. If you think the released approval ratings, let's say Kamala, who they're, I don't know if they're trying to get rid of her or Biden or what they're doing right now, but 20% or 26% approval rating for Kamala Harris, right? What do you think it really is? 30-something for Biden. They've lost the entire country with this crap. And they know it's not just those two people. It's everything. So I'm just like, leave us alone. I'm tired of this. Like, now we've got to worry about whether or not they're going to release smallpox on the world and kill 3/4 of the population just because why?
Oh, well, it's not for us to know, Tracy. First of all, there is nothing that Joe Biden or Kamala Harris have to do with any of this stuff.
I know.
You think about just leave us alone. Why can't you leave us alone? Think about how Iraqi and Afghani citizens have been feeling for the last 20 years, or Syrians. Please leave us alone, CIA. Please leave us alone. Why do they need this from us? They don't care who they squash. Remember, over 1 million civilians in Iraq died over the last 20 years. We don't even talk about that. That's not even in the public consciousness here in the U.S. The same people who did all of that are doing it here. They just brought it home. So trying to come up with some kind of a way why they can't show any humanity and have any kind of rhyme or reason to their madness is not really understanding what we're the target of right now. This is not the work of a political party. The Democrat and the Republican parties are very flimsy masks.
Yeah, no, I know that. I mean, I know that. I think everybody listening knows that. That's why I'm saying I just pray, everyone, because we are in such an epic battle of good versus evil right now. Holy crap. Such an epic battle of good versus evil right now. And it is so transparent. So transparent.
Yeah.
So.
Truly.
It's terrible. So there's that. And of course, we're going to keep on fighting that fight and covering things. Like, there's this one lawsuit that I'm following quite closely here out of South Carolina. Nuclear facility, Frank. You know, just one of those nuclear facilities that we...
What happened now?
They're mandating the vaccine and their workers don't want it. They're suing. Imagine the national security implications of this. They're losing everybody at this nuclear facility. All of the special ops guys, everybody that's trying to keep the facility safe, they're losing them all because they won't get the shot. Nuclear facility. It has such national security ramifications. Not like they give a crap. Obviously, they're decimating the armed forces to be nothing but a smithering, high heel wearing mess of God knows what. I know it sounds all gloom and doom, but we just have to face this reality, guys. This is what we're fighting. It is no joke. It's no joke.
Yeah.
And
I know. It might seem like gloom and doom, but I mean, to ignore when things get a little bit more pronounced and a little bit worse is not going to help anything either.
No.
You know, remember, this is November 17th, 2021. And in some people's worlds, there have been 3 Donald Trump reinstatement dates that have come and gone already. You know, we have to realize to face facts. This is a really dark undertaking just to have to walk through this and to experience it, holding it up against in contrast with the way that we grew up and what's been taken away. It's a dark thing to consider. It doesn't mean that you don't go into the darkness with some kind of a soundness of mind and soul and spirit, but you can't deny what's going on here and that there aren't very many good options left.
No, and you know, that's another reason why I can't take these, well, someone's coming to save us things anymore. Like, enough is enough already. We're going to have to save us. We, me, you, all the people out there. You know, like, for example, in South Carolina right now, we're organizing a coalition, which is absolutely beautiful, Frank. I mean, the people coming together to work on this are incredible. We're going to go up to the State House in Columbia on December 4th, and we have a bunch of legislators that are working on legislation to ban this from ever happening again and stop it from happening right now in South Carolina. the bill that we're hoping to get passed is ridiculously strong. It is beautiful. It is individual liberty. It is everything that we wish to see in a million years. We're going to the state capitol on December 4th to stand there and demand that the governor call a special session. We are doing that as individual citizens. We're affecting change. They have no idea what we want unless we force feed it down their throats. They're so ridiculously uninformed. Like, me and you are very informed citizens. 99% of the people out there right now, I think, are getting, if not already, very informed about everything that's going on. Not just about COVID, not just about vaccines, about everything. It's crazy. And so we're the ones who have to take this power into our own hands. It's just like the beginning of your show, for goodness sakes. Ants.
Bug's life.
A bug's life, right.
But yeah, it'll that's where, at the end, that's really how people realize. People realize that there's no good getting around it, okay, fine. It's almost like when you're fearing the fact that you might have to get into a fist fight. After the first punch is thrown, it's just, okay, well, all right, well, that's out of the way.
Yeah, it's still all very, very, it's overwhelming, but we need everybody. We really need everybody to do this. We need everyone. I'm going to play a clip real quick from Joy Behar. This is unbelievable to me.
It's from yesterday?
Yep. How do you say her name? Jedidiah?
I thought it was Jedidiah.
It's Jedidiah. I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before in my life.
Me neither.
Who is she?
I don't know, but she was on The View promoting a new book, and this just happened. This was the second half of my show yesterday.
Oh, you did it? Okay.
Yeah, so I know what's coming.
All right, here we go.
Let's address the elephant in the room, because you were supposed to join. Supposed to join us in the studios weeks ago, but you couldn't because ABC has a very strict policy. You can't get into this building unless you're fully vaccinated. Everybody in this room knows that and is vaccinated. But you made a conscious decision not to get the vaccine. Now, the CDC says a person is 10 times less likely to be hospitalized from COVID and 11 times less likely to die if they've gotten the vaccine. Okay.
So why do you care then?
Well, but let me ask you something. Where do they get that number? Especially given the survivability rate, the recovery rate.
They're not collecting the data. I have no idea where they're getting the number.
I just 11 times more likely to. I would love somebody to explain that.
They can't. They are not collecting the data. And 11 times is probably the small little tiny sample size they did get the data from. You know, just like Pfizer happened to leave out how many people died a few days after taking their vaccine in their trial. You know, Alex Berenson published a column about that. They omitted like 6 deaths out of 20. So there were like 6 more deaths in their vaccine trial than they actually said that there were, which changes the percentage of died by like 25% given the sample size. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and Joy, everybody knows they have to be fully vaccinated to come in this room. Like, screw you. Here we go.
Why didn't you get it?
Yeah, it's none of your business, Joy Behar. Sorry, I'm going to go crazy on this. It's none of her freaking business why she didn't get it.
It's been made their business.
Yeah.
Story is a little bit unique. I'll share that first before I get into those CDC numbers. But
remember, we have only a certain amount of time, Jed, if you want to get everything in.
I have, so I want to let people know why I'm not there. I have a medical exemption to the vaccine that's been written by my infectious disease vaccinated specialist in New York City that's been co-signed by 3 other doctors. I'm not a candidate for this vaccine. I also have sky-high, multi-tiered, multifaceted natural immunity, very, very high, that has also been proven, it has been shown, and it is substantiated by letters from these doctors. So for me personally, this vaccine poses a greater risk than a benefit. I'm also not a risk to any of you. I know there's been a lot of debate about that, but I have these doctors who've gone on record with that as well. So my point about all of this is that I am not anti-vax. What I really want is for people to make these decisions for themselves. I want every one of you to sit with your family.
Hear the groaning from the elephant, Whoopi Goldberg.
I want everybody. Yeah. Screw these little mini, like, who do these people think they are? That's literally a personal freedom statement. I want everyone to make this. And I hate that everybody has to put a disclaimer. I'm not anti-vax. Guess what? I'm going to declare it today. I am anti-vax. I'm anti every single vaccine out there. Okay? How's that? Every vaccine. I'm anti-vax. There you go. I'm pro non-vaccine. Oh, now, gosh. Like, Vice is gonna clip that out because Vice stalks my Telegram room. And so does like the Daily Dot or whatever that is. This woman, she sits in there and like every time something somewhat controversial happens, she puts out a column about it and she like highlights what I've said. So they'll clip this out of the show and be like, "Oh, Tracy Beans is an anti-vaxxer," and I will wear that medal proudly. I hope you'll all stand next to me. I am anti-COVID-19 vaccine. I am anti-Gardasil. I am anti-60-something vaccines on the vaccine schedule for our little tiny babies. I'm anti it all.
It's pretty pretty serious to see what was going on in that show. And I don't watch, you know, I am not up to date with what the hell goes on with the View, but when this crossed my path yesterday, man, oh man, incredible.
We're not even done with it yet. Does your mom still watch The View?
No.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
No, that's all over.
Hallelujah.
I was surprised when she told me that too, but I guess I've made it unwatchable for her now.
Good for you.
I've done some good in the world. If you can just handle what you can handle. And for me, I've been able to make some kind of an impact with my mother, and that's fine with me. If that's all I can confirm, then I'm fine.
Here.
Your trusted doctors, and to say, what is the best decision for me? However, I do oppose mandates. I oppose them on the fact that, let's look at the science. This is a vaccine that was created to prevent severity of disease and to prevent hospitalizations. Now, we can have a whole debate on that in itself, but the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID and does not prevent you from transmitting COVID.
Oh, my
COVID.
Goodness.
Reality.
No, that's not so.
Now, she goes nuts.
You're going to fuck you.
And she says, you've been watching the Fox News for too long. But wait a second. This is something that has been admitted by all the so-called official sources now.
Yes.
It doesn't prevent getting or giving it. And these people are still back in like December of 2020 with the old – like they have the old script that they're running. It's really incredible to me. The only supposed advantage of taking this shot, according to them now – is that it apparently limits your chances of going to the hospital and dying from this thing, which were already infinitesimally small. So I just don't get who told them to keep running the December 2020 script about how this actually prevents transmission and infection. Who told them to keep running the script?
I don't know, but I did a video, like 2 or 3 months ago where I put all of the archived headlines of how the vaccine will stop transmission and we can get back to normal life next to the things that were dripping. Remember that New York Times article that came out where they said that the vaccine was never meant to stop transmission? And I'm like, whoa. Ho.
And of course, this is a month and a half after these heifers had two of their cast members taken off the set in the middle of a broadcast because they were infected with COVID.
Right, the vaccinated.
The vaccinated cast members that were infected with COVID.
And,
oh, come on.
And Joy Behar sitting here like, well, this must be one of those rare breakthrough cases.
Yeah, okay, well, if it's rare or if it's common, would you say that negates the idea that the vaccine prevents
COVID
transmission and infection?
Right.
Because if they got infected, who says that they're not transmitting it to somebody else?
Someone out there right now sitting down listening to this is saying they stopped tracking breakthrough cases in May. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Goodness me, oh my. Okay, let's finish this.
Or trusted doctors and to say what is does not prevent you from getting COVID and does not prevent you from transmitting COVID.
Oh my goodness.
legality.
Yeah, oh, that's not so. Come on. No, you've been at Fox TV too long.
You don't have to join. You don't have to listen to me on that. You don't have to listen to me. You can listen to the director of the CDC. You can look at the CDC's website. That is why masks were reinstated for people who were vaccinated, because they said, and they admitted, they came out and said, this for this Delta variant, transmission is going to be a thing for vaccinated and unvaccinated people. So I'm not opposed to the vaccine, but I am opposed to the mandate
762,000 people have died from COVID.
No, they haven't. 762,000 people have not died from COVID, you uninformed shell of a human being.
I can't believe that they've gotten that total so close to 800,000 already. What do you think the dog and pony show is going to look like when they finally are able to tally 1 million supposed deaths? Because I think
they're going to have a parade.
Something. I think they have a chance of doing that by Valentine's
Day. Well, if they keep it up with this, yeah. I mean, if you get a hangnail that gets infected and you die, and they test you with a PCR test that's cycled at 75 and you test positive for COVID, you died of COVID. So yeah. This entire thing is such a sham. And these people, I mean, I don't know how they look at themselves in the mirror every day. They've got to know that they're completely wrong. They have to know. They have to know. There's no way they're this stupid. It's just impossible. So that makes them evil. And you know what? In a time like this, being uninformed and not knowing that makes you evil as well, especially given where they're sitting.
Yeah, the audience, they're on another level of stupid, though. The audience, they obviously, to get in the building, everybody had to get the shot. And these are people that are constantly looking for validation that they have made all the right decisions in their lives. So, of course, all of these really unfunny quips about Fox News, who have been largely pro-vaccine, too, it's just nervous people constantly needing reassurance. That's just what it is.
So we're going to stop. I don't even want to listen to the rest of it.
No, it's bad.
It's just going to piss me off, what do you think we should show everybody what happens? What do you think?
What do you mean, show?
They silence her, don't they?
Oh, well, they just continue to steamroll her, because now the woman who just started talking about 762,000, whatever, she goes on to talk about, you know, her personal losses and this and that, and that's it. It's just steamrolling. I'm sorry, my friend, but you're just like on the wrong side of history kind of shit. And then in comes that whale of a Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know what the hell happened to her, but I also don't care. She just then plugs the book and says, we got to go.
I'm dying for the day. I can't wait for the day when, for some odd reason, for some stroke of luck, I'm granted the opportunity to rebut people like this on live national television. Whenever that day comes, it's going to be glorious, Frank. Because I would have said to her, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your family. Guess what? I have two vaccine injured relatives. Two.
And they would say, how can you don't know that.
You don't know for sure. Well, I do, because they were perfectly healthy, got the shot, and are basically on their deathbed. I do know that. And then I can say, what about all the vaccine injured athletes out there who are coming forward and speaking out, and people like you are spitting all over their experience? Isn't it believe all victims? Isn't that your mantra, lady? And
not
by
now.
The way, ditch the ponytail. You look like a freaking lunatic that stuck your finger in an electrical socket. Moving on from there, there's video that was released yesterday. Woman in labor in Philadelphia hospital about to have a baby. Husband and mom refuse the vitamin K and hepatitis B shots for the baby when it's born. Then they start bringing down the hammer because the crazy anti-vaxxers are here. The crazy anti-vaxxers have invaded the maternity ward.
Tracy, I got to tell you, this is why, for as long as we're in New York, Aurora just may be an only child.
Yeah.
Because we got rid of our midwives. We got rid of our midwives a week and a half before Aurora was born.
I remember.
Because I was calling them up, and I had to ask questions about one thing or another about this one hospital that they work with here in New York. And it was Phelps Memorial Hospital. And I was asking them about vitamin K, hepatitis B, whatever. They said hepatitis B, you can refuse for now. You can sign a waiver. You don't have to leave. But vitamin K, you cannot refuse. In New York, you can't refuse. I said, well, I don't want it. I said you can give the baby the drops. I don't want the vitamin K injection. The drops are fine with us. We also do not want the eye ointment, nothing. And they said, well, that's not going to be possible in the state of New York. And if you press that at the hospital, they may categorize you as belligerent. And there might be a chance that they keep the baby from you for a little while until they interview you.
Investigate you.
So that's why I said, oh, okay, well, thank you very much. So I called up Greenwich Hospital to see what they still have the ability. No, they said you can refuse everything. You just got to sign a waiver and all is well. Said, thank you very much. I got rid of the midwives. We wasted thousands of dollars. They didn't do really anything because we can barely even see them over the course of the pregnancy because everything was telemedicine in 2020. Mm-hmm. So that's what we had to do. We were able to slip into Connecticut, where me and Lauren were both born. So it was fine. It was nice being there, but this is real. And,
I didn't even get to what happened yet.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine the kind of screws they're putting to people like this in certain parts of the country.
Yeah, I mean, he goes in, he tells them they don't want any of that stuff. The hospital says, all right, well, we're going to need you to take a COVID test. And he says, I'm not taking a COVID test. Screw that. Out of nowhere. And then the police come and they force him to leave. Literally, forcibly make him leave. He can't be there with his wife who's giving birth. Goodness knows what's going to happen after his wife gives birth to this baby. And underneath, Citizens Free Press has a meme. It says the Great Reset on a white wall. And there's a little child there who's crossed it out in blue. And it says the Great Resist.
There you go.
And moving right along from there, we'll end today on the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, which is now going to be going into day two of jury deliberations with a brand new, newly filed motion to motion for mistrial with prejudice sitting in front of the judge, because the prosecution did not give the defense the same video that they had in their possession, the FBI drone video. They got the low quality version to the defense, and the HD version was withheld by prosecutors in addition to the rest of the absolute prosecutorial misconduct that went on in this case. This motion is now sitting in front of the judge. What he will do with it is anybody's guess, given that the National Guard has been called into Kenosha, which I know people have said if they would have just done this 2-3 years ago, we wouldn't have had this problem at all, and Kyle Rittenhouse wouldn't be sitting on trial right now.
Yeah.
If he would have just called the National Guard in when Black Lives Matter and the fascists started running around destroying everything, Kyle Rittenhouse wouldn't have been there to defend his own town.
Right. But, you know, this is not about finding the truth. It's about getting a win and having this precedent be there for every other Bolshevik lawyer and judge in the country to reference in the years to come, when many more people are going to feel the need to defend their lives with lethal force.
The judge in this case, there's a couple different theories. I've been listening to Rakita Law. He's got all the attorneys that I like to read about and follow on his live streams on this case. And the guy's racking up bank. You look at his super chats.
Dude, I was watching him for a couple hours yesterday, or at least just had him on in the background while I worked. And then I just, you know, randomly checking in just to make sure that nothing big has happened. Tens of thousands of dollars in one day.
Easy.
Holy hell.
I'm like, holy crap. The $100 super chats don't stop on this.
No, 200. I was just watching a steady stream of $250. I saw a couple of $1,000 things in there. It really made me miss the very small window of time that we all had accounts that could be found in.
Yeah,
some
I know.
You know, my YouTube account was demonetized and they took super chats away in April of 2020. So it's been a very, very long time. Even though, I mean, Google takes 30% off the top, and then all of the state taxes and fees go on top of it. So a lot of that, he probably made about 55% of everything.
What I wouldn't give
for 55%.
I'm telling you right now, I am like desperately hanging on for dear life, Frank. Desperately. What I wouldn't give for just one day like that right now. Holy crap. Good for him. Oh, Lord. But I was watching it. And basically what they're saying is the judge may wait to see what the verdict is and then rule on it. But if he does that, it can't be with prejudice. So they'll be able to do it again. They can appeal and all that stuff. If he does it before the jury comes back with their deliberations, then they can't appeal it. So he's kind of between a rock and a hard place. And given that he's under 24/7 protection right now, because God forbid he's an honest judge who loves this country and the rule of law, you know, and then there's Jack Posobiec coming out with all his rumors that he's got going and saying that two jurors right now are deciding or saying that they can't rule the way they want to, because if they do, the entire town will go to shit, which is jury tampering, witness. It's just.
But that's the whole thing here. When you talk about who needs to be sued afterwards, do you sue, like, for example, Joe Biden is a great example of someone at the top of the pecking order right now who needs to be sued. Can you actually sue the man, Joe Biden, or do you have to sue the office, the United States government? What do you do? Because he was speaking in official capacity from official media platforms on the internet to pretty much cast aspersions on a trial, making it impossible for anybody to get a fair trial anywhere in the country, which is not the first time it's happened.
No,
he did it with the Derek Chauvin case too.
Yep, and you can.
This is really just incredible. It's incredible what we're seeing here. Now to think that two people, two members of the jury, are they're scared of doing what they want to do. That must be a good sign for the defense, at least, that it's pretty unanimous that everybody sees that this is a sham.
Yep.
But there really is only two holdouts right now because they don't want their family to be targeted and a town to burn. So I guess that's positive in that respect. But what happens if the jury gets hung? Do they have to do this all over again, or can everything get thrown out? Because obviously, there's not going to be a courtroom in the country at this point that is not going to have this very same dilemma happen at the end. Because if they have to go to retrial, now there's even more evidence that goes in Kyle Rittenhouse's favor. That had been suppressed in the first place, including a lot of the criminal background of the people in question. So what? Where is it?
Jump kick man.
All of the crimes that were dismissed prior to the trial starting of the key witness, the Gage Grosskreutz guy.
Jump kick man is a 40-year-old black male from Kenosha with an extensive criminal record who was at the time of the Rittenhouse shootings on probation following a conviction for domestic violence battery. He faced a maximum of 9 months in jail, but less than 2 months before he kicked Rittenhouse, he accepted a plea deal that netted him 12 months probation. Then he violated the terms of his probation and was sentenced to 7 months in jail. 2 decades, multiple felony convictions for car theft, ID theft, drug possession, and escaping custody.
And then he got in touch with the prosecutors. He got in touch with the prosecutors to say, "Hey, listen, can I take the stand in the Rittenhouse trial in exchange for immunity on these DUI and assault charges that I just recently racked up that prior June or something like that?" And the prosecution said, "No, please get lost and don't let anybody know that you exist."
Yeah.
You know, so you talk about the suppression here. Everybody was searching for a racial element in this situation, and there were none. And it goes to show.
The only one he didn't shoot was the black guy.
I know. And the only racial element there were was the complete suppression of the fact that there was an assailant that was black.
Jump kicking his face.
Yeah. An assailant was black, and they tried to the prosecution told him, "Please stay away from us." Because they didn't want to have to deal with this.
Mr. Littlefinger himself.
Yeah.
Really, really ridiculous. Really ridiculous. So we'll see what happens today. I mean, it's always a question. You never know. You never know.
Well, how many days can a jury be hung before? I don't know.
I don't think there's a limit. I think they have to say, we can't come to any conclusion here. I think they have to call it. I don't know. I don't know. So real quick before we go, did you see the clip yesterday that came out about, who was it? Chad Pergram saying that he got, what's it called? He got tips to take a look at the process for confirmation in the House of a new vice president.
Yeah.
I'm going to find that. I have it here. We'll play that. We'll discuss that quickly, and then we'll go for the day. I don't even know. I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know what they're doing. Are they?
Well, the problem, what did I say? Did I say the only two options they have? The only two options they have is to replace Kamala Harris. You have to replace Kamala Harris so that when Joe Biden leaves and is ushered out for one reason or another, somebody can step in that has a better ability to lead and better any kind of better polling than her. I said you either have to remove her first and then let Joe leave, let the vice president become president, and let the vice president who become president pick their own vice president.
So complicated.
Or you have to kill both of them. Those are the only two options if you are trying to manage. It's the only thing. I mean, those are not choices we would make. I'm talking about the powers that be that are trying to get a more competent and believable face, an authoritative duo into the White House. Nobody believes that when this doddering old dementia-ridden freak walks down the, you know, a hallway, that he's a man that commands the room. Nobody believes that Kamala Harris is anybody worthy of respect. So this is not our problem, of course. There are people out there that are wondering, how do we get rid of these two? We got rid of Trump. Now we got to figure out how to salvage the last 3 years of this first term. I don't know. You gotta do those switcheroos, or you gotta eliminate them somehow.
Just saying, real quick. We'll play this clip real quick. But the ETS on vaccination and testing. I'm sorry. The Court of Appeals granted the stay in OSHA's COVID-19 vaccine and testing emergency temporary standard. The court ordered that OSHA take no steps to implement or enforce the ETS until further court order. While OSHA remains confident in its authority to protect workers in emergencies, OSHA has suspended activities related to the implementation and enforcement of the ETS pending future developments in the litigation. Somebody was trying to argue with me yesterday that the stay only applied in the three states in that district. And I was like, that is absolutely false. Absolutely false. This is across the board, and clearly that's true because they're not. It's on pause. The Department of Labor just said, "Here."
Breaking in Washington tonight, where our Capitol Hill correspondent Chad Pergram tells us he's been hearing whispers suggesting there could be some new high-profile confirmation hearings on the horizon in the House of Representatives. Why is this a big deal? Because the House does not confirm normal nominees, but it does confirm vice presidential nominees. Does this have something to do with Kamala Harris? It's no secret she's been running out of favor with the Biden team. Over the weekend, someone at the White House leaked several stories criticizing Kamala for her constant gaffes and awkward laugh.
Her constant gaffes? Hers?
I guess so.
Office responded to those leaks by leaking a story of its own, calling the Biden team racist. Chad Pergram joins me now. Chad, so what exactly are you hearing?
Good evening, Jesse. Well, there's a lot of conjecture right now about the future of Vice President Harris and her lagging poll numbers. This happened at the White House yesterday during the ceremony to sign the infrastructure bill.
Please welcome Heather Kurtenbach.
In a moment.
Whoops.
Yep.
The faux pas was probably not intentional, but it underscored issues some have in the Biden administration with Harris. Now, here's a window into my world. As you know, I appreciate congressional process and mechanics. So I got a message recently from someone who knows Capitol Hill very well. And they suggested I should familiarize myself with the process to confirm a vacancy for the vice president in the Senate and in the House. To be clear, this is not something to say that something is afoot here, but I always do my homework, especially about process. Vice President Nelson Rockefeller, who served under President Ford, was the last vice president confirmed by Congress, the Senate, and House.
That could also, like you said, happen if president is gone for some reason, and then Kamala has to nominate a new vice president.
Because she would be sworn in, and then she has to nominate a vice president, and yeah. But the whole point here is that they're trying to avoid the vice president ever coming into power if the president needs to be moved out, which obviously his ability to complete this first term seems really untenable. Then again, we all thought that there was no chance up until that first – an hour before that first debate between he and Donald Trump. I believed for sure there was no chance that he was actually even going to be the final the final person that they put up on the ballot.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very, very late thing.
I'm just saying that the Chad Pergram isn't saying that, like, he's not being specific about what's going to happen. So it could be anything.
Yeah.
They couldn't be just seeking to remove her. They could be, it could be anything. And again, you know, in my opinion, given everything else that we're facing, that they're what do they call it when somebody's in office? Figureheads anyway. So they're figureheads. I guess we're done for the day, Frank.
Well, okay.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, sorry, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Friday.
Later.